Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it's our first live transmission of 2010 on this Sunday edition. January 3rd, 2010. That will certainly take some getting used to. We're going to have our third interview with one of the key eyewitnesses from the International Flight 253 that came in to Detroit on Christmas Day and that the underwear bomber attempted to bring out of the air, reportedly. He will be joining us coming up in 20 minutes. Haskell, FBI, has changed account four times. Our story is the same since day one. And there have been some other developments in the case since he was last on with us Wednesday live. He'll be joining us coming up in the third segment. I have several large stacks of news here that I want to go over today or attempt to cover. But one that was given to me when I got to the office today by the crew, because I encourage them to also search around for interesting news, is an article out of the Times of London. And, of course, we also simulcast all 6 days a week of my radio show online via television at prisonplanet.tv. Prisonplanet.tv viewers might want to tune in because you can see shots from the document cam of these articles I'm talking about. Microsoft seeks patent for office spy software. And driving into the office today with my stacks of news, I was thinking to myself, what is it I want to get into? The underwear bomber and the clear evidence that that's a false flag event to kick off several new wars in Yemen, Somalia, and to expand what's happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Should I get into the fact that the Democratic Party, even though it is destroying their election hopes for 2010, 2012, they don't care? Why are they going ahead with government-controlled, government-run health care? Which isn't socialism. That's bad enough. It's just highway robbery. Real liberals and socialists have finally read the bill and are saying higher taxes, less health care. And I was also looking at news from India, massive deaths there from freezing weather, which they never have in the areas of India that have been hit by freezing temperatures for a week. Freezing temperatures in Europe, freezing temperatures in North America, freezing temperatures in Asia, which is, of course, circumstantial evidence that the world is not overheating. You know, Al Gore, every time it gets hot, says, oh, look, global warming, when that's part of a normal cycle. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, look, it's record cold temperatures, some of the coldest temperatures ever recorded this time. Europe, I have the headline here, coldest temperatures ever recorded for this time of year. I have another headline in Washington, D.C., biggest, deepest snowstorm in December history in Washington, D.C. But that doesn't matter. Weather is always changing. You're always having extreme weather. So because we're having extremely cold weather doesn't prove that man-made global warming isn't real. What does prove that it isn't real is that we have the ice core samples, we have the last 300 years of temperature recorded, and we know that this is moderately warming, we've seen. And in the last 9 years, we've seen a cooling, but that's a normal cycle. But that's not what I decided to get into first today. No, when I read this article right before I went on air, I decided to get a little bit into the technological enslavement system, the technocracy, the scientific dictatorship. So that is coming up right after the break. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome and thank you so much for joining us on this live Sunday broadcast, first live broadcast of 2010 on this January 3rd Sunday edition. Thank you for joining us. We have one of the eyewitnesses of the underwear bomber flight joining us coming up for the third interview we've done with him. There's been some big new developments on that front with Kurt Haskell, as the FBI now has been forced for the four times total to change their story. They are now admitting that Mr. Haskell and his family and what the eyewitnesses are saying is correct and is accurate. So they've been caught in the middle of a cover-up. We'll get into that cover-up coming up in the next segment today. Also, the Democrats are in big trouble. There's a huge exodus out of their party, not just at the federal level in Congress, in the House and Senate, but also at the state level. There is going to be a backlash, the likes of which we've never seen before, from their move to hijack 1/7 to 1/6, depending on what numbers you look at, of the U.S. economy through government-run health care, this giant boondoggle, which even liberals are now upset about. They've actually read the bill. They're finding out it doesn't give them something, quote, for free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. What it gives them is something new to tax and control and dole out to the public who they want to make dependent on them. So that is coming up later in the broadcast as well. But the first story I want to get to is out of the Times of London today. And after I saw this story, I went and Googled it and looked it up. It turns out they previously reported on this, along with other publications, last year as well. And it reports that Microsoft seeks patent for Office Spy software. And when you see an article like this, it gives you a glimpse into the future. And if we go back a decade ago or longer ago, the predictions I made on the type of surveillance society we're going to be living under and living in, unfortunately, have come true. And before I get into this here briefly before our guest joins us, Friday night I went into a gas station to get a cup of coffee, and a man walked over to me, as often happens, and said, "Oh, I recognize your voice. You're Alex Jones here in Austin, Texas." And I said, "Yes, how are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I just recognized your voice." I said, "Great, have a nice day." And he said, "Hold on just a minute, hold on." He said, "Do you really believe the things you talk about on your show, or do you just do it for shock value?" And I paused for a moment, and he went on to say, I guess thinking he'd made me angry, he hadn't. I was just being reflective. I was thinking. He said, "Or are you just trying to get people to look into what you have to say?" And that's true to a certain extent. But I don't get up here and yell and scream and get upset sometimes because I'm trying to get people to pay attention, though it has that effect in some cases. I am upset on the radio sometimes and get passionate because I'm passionate about freedom and passionate about my children growing up and living in a free society and my unborn grandchildren growing up and living in a free society. And I want to leave the world a better place when I leave this planet, not in a worse position. But I thought about that, and I reflected on it, that we're on all these AM and FM stations across the country. We're the number one internet show on the internet, according to Shoutcast and other barometers, other meters, other gauges. We're clearly number one radio talk show. Routinely number one, even above music on Shoutcast and other gauges. And there's all these people out there tuning in, and they don't understand that they don't have to believe me. They don't understand that they can simply go and look up 95% of what I talk about here on air. I mean, 5% of the time I editorialize on something or I tell a personal story about myself like I just did. And you don't know if that's true, but if I get up here and I tell you record cold temperatures in Washington, D.C., that's what the Associated Press is reporting today. Or if I get up here on the radio and I tell you that Google has patented and says they're now testing, as of 3 years ago, accessing the microphones and cameras on computers and dialing in and listening to everything you're saying and doing to build psychological algorithms and psychological databases on you. I mean, if I say something like that, even if it shocks you, and it should be shocking because you know that's police state, that's not freedom, that's an invasion of privacy. But instead of going, man, I better check this out and find out if it's true, it's so shocking that you just decide to say that guy must be just putting this out there to get people's attention. Let me explain something to you. If I got up here on the radio and I said that Bayer Pharmaceutical, for close to a decade, conservatively, knew that over a million ampules of their blood clotting drug, Factor VIII, was filled with HIV and three strains of hepatitis and infected hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, if I got up here and said that and it wasn't true, Bayer Pharmaceutical would sue me off the face of the earth. If I got up here on the radio and I said Baxter Pharmaceutical last year, this was in Bloomberg and Associated Press, but even if I give them sources, they don't care. They don't believe it. Mixed weaponized bird flu and shipped it to 14 different countries. And thank God a lab tech in Czechoslovakia tested it on ferrets. And if the ferrets get sick, it means they didn't properly kill the virus if it's a regular flu shot. But the ferrets all died. And so they did test and said, my God, this has got super flu in it. And they just pulled up a mainstream MSNBC article. Scarborough revisits Bayer marketing HIV, AIDS-infected blood clotting substances. But see, my crew just did that. I didn't tell them to do that. What, it took you a minute to do that? I mean, I'm not making any of this up. You can get mad at me and say, Alex, I don't think you should get upset about it. But you can't just sit there and say, I'm making this up. And I get those emails every day. I see it all over the message boards. People send me links saying I'm a liar about all of this when I'm not lying about any of it. If I say cold weather kills scores in India, I have the New Delhi News here in front of me. Here it is. Talking about global warming being a fraud. If I say Dublin Airport suspends flights in cold weather, or that D.C. has record cold, record snow. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, if I say that major universities that the UN uses to get their data to show that the Earth is warming and that it's man-made have been caught engaged in fraud and that they know it's not man-made, we have Ben Santer's own internal UN documents. We have the ClimateGate documents. When I got those FBI Homeland Security documents saying veterans, gun owners, conservatives are the real enemy of Homeland Security, people didn't believe it for 2 days. They thought I made it up. Now it's admitted it was real. I remember. I remember 14 years ago reading trade publications, corporate publications, how the federal government and international agreements was pushing for a system to track cars and trucks by the mile, non-commercial vehicles as well, and to tax you. And I would get on the air and I would cover it and I would get called a conspiracy theorist because people like to rationalize. They don't like to face a threat. They don't like to hear that they need to be politically involved or stand up for themselves. They just want to go through life like everything's a party and go do their job and then go to the bar or go to the football game. You can't do that. And now our entire Bill of Rights and Constitution is routinely ignored by federal agencies. The federal government now admits that it spies on the American people in non-terror-related cases without warrants. The Patriot Act is used thousands and thousands of times a year at every state level in non-terror-related cases. The government is openly militarizing and arming against the people. The federal government is completely controlled by offshore banks that are robbing the country blind. They get tens of trillions of dollars through the banking bailout, not $700 billion. And then tell the Congress they won't let them know where the money went or how it was spent. Both the private Federal Reserve head and the head of the Treasury, Geithner, say we're not going to tell you. And their predecessors, like Henry Paulson, did the exact same thing. And so it goes on and on and on. And we look at the cashless society control grid. We look at Patriot Act compliance, how every financial transaction is tracked and controlled. Everything is chronicled. This is Big Brother. And it isn't a loving Big Brother. It isn't a government that cares about you or wants to help you. It is a government that in its own white papers admits that it is simply trying to suppress the people from gaining control of their government again. We have a tyranny in place. And anyone with a lick of sense or who pays attention knows that. But here's just one article of thousands concerning Big Brother. Microsoft seeks patent for office spy software. Microsoft is developing Big Brother-style software capable of remotely monitoring a worker's productivity, physical well-being, and competence. The Times has seen a patent application filed by the company for a computer system that links workers to their computers via wireless sensors that measure their metabolic system. The system would allow managers to monitor employees' performance by measuring their heart rate, body temperature, movement, facial expression, blood pressure. Unions said they fear that employees could be dismissed on the basis of a computer's assessment of their psychological state. Technology allowing constant monitoring of workers was previously limited to pilots, firefighters, and NASA astronauts. This is believed to be the first time a company has proposed developing such software for workplaces. And this patent was brought forward in 2008, by the way. And then you add that in with the fact that police aren't even needed anymore other than enforcing fines and fees. For more than a decade, the entire United States, every major highway and every major juncture through the Department of Transportation and the Pentagon has had license plate reading cameras installed. You'll notice on many toll roads, take Central Texas and the Napa Superhighway Trans-Texas Corridor. Most of the toll roads don't even have systems where you can pay with cash or pay with a transponder. It says pay by mail, and the system simply tracks your license plate and point A to point B, where you got on, where you got off the toll road, and they send you a bill. The issue is the federal government and other governments of the world, they're all unified in their deployment of these systems. It's centralized, are now in the process of announcing and conditioning the public to accept by the mile taxation, but also by the mile fines and fees. As you drive down the road, let's say the speed limit is 60 miles an hour, and then you go through a 40 mile an hour, and then it goes up to 70. According to those markers and the cameras, you will be given tickets if your average speed goes above the average speed that you are allowed to drive for that distance. So everything has a double-edged sword. GPS is a great tool, but it is also being used to control you. License plate scanning systems could be a great tool, but from day one, it's being used to control you. And some will say, well, if you have nothing to hide, why then should you worry about it? Well, the point is, throughout history, anytime you let the balance of power between the people and the government get out of whack, and it's always gravitating towards the government getting more power, it's always sliding down into that. That's the problem that always arises. Governments are the most abusive, most destructive powers in human history. Government in the 20th century conservatively killed 200 million innocent people, cold-bloodedly, just to get them out of their way. Corrupt, wicked, scheming tyrants tend to get in control of government systems. But even if you built this technological tracking system and angels were running our government, which they're not, within time, you would get a corrupt group or a group of tyrants, plutocrats, in control, and they would use it as a tool of domination. Our children in the public schools wear ID badges. There's fences around many of the schools. Parents have to be thumb scanned to get into the school to get their children. The state is taking over our children. The children are trained to be searched. They're lined up, and drug dogs in famous cases bark at them and start biting their gym bags. Remember Goose Creek, North Carolina? They're randomly searched. We're randomly searched at the airport in the name of security. It has nothing to do with that. It's all part of training you to be a slave, training you to go under their control. Satellites formerly used in the Cold War are now publicly used in Australia, Europe, England, the United States, Canada, and countless other nations to surveil people's land use. Laws are being passed across the planet to shut down land use, to slowly bankrupt and push farmers and ranchers and rural communities off the land. We have official United Nations biological diversity assessment perspectives that the environmental movement has nothing to do with the environment, that is the governmental controlled environmental movement, and that it is about, quote, in the words of Maurice Strong of the UN, destroying industrialized societies and bringing in a form of neo-feudalistic serfdom, a highly managed, controlled population. These are the real issues that need to be discussed. And make no mistake, the Mexican Attorney General 4 years ago made his employees take implantable microchips. School children are taught in the United States that they will soon get microchips in Time Magazine for Kids. This is worse than George Orwell's 1984. And we know the people running the world government have the worst of intentions. They want a planetary tyranny to protect all their fraud and corruption. We are back live. First live transmission of 2010. Of course, I'm live Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Come back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you for joining us. The websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, PrisonPlanet.com. And when I make a film like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, we create an online bibliography so you can check every fact we cover in the film for yourself. Find out what the endgame is at whatistheendgame.com. In the next hour, we're going to have open phones for first-time callers. And you may notice I'm somewhat subdued today. My New Year's resolution is to truly shake up the radio show. It's growing by leaps and bounds. One of the fastest-growing radio shows in the country. I'm happy with the broadcast, but I'm calm a lot of the time, but I'm also fiery part of the time. And I'm trying to train myself to have control where some days I'm going to make myself, even if I become angry, be calm. Other days I'm going to let myself off the leash. And I'm going to some days do nothing but take calls. Other days do nothing but guest. Some days nothing but rant. Other shows I'm just going to cover news. And for the first time in 14 years of talk radio, I'm actually scripting out some of my radio show. I mean, not line for line, word for word, but I'm going to try to do something different, do something new, challenge myself, because it's been more than 10 years since I got butterflies coming on the radio. And I think that when I have butterflies, that makes the show more effective. And it makes me stay more cutting edge and frosty. And by disciplining myself to shake the program up, that will force me to get butterflies because it's something new for me to try to remain very, very calm and very, very focused. But don't worry, you'll still get the classic Alex Jones. I'm just announcing my experiment here with everyone on air today. Coming up after our guest leaves us, I want to get into what's happening with the government takeover of healthcare. And we are also going to get into the new war front, the calls for going into Yemen, Somalia, Sudan, and other nations. A big kickoff, all because of the deadly underwear bomber. Notice U.S. forces were massing in Yemen before the underwear bomber came along. The Christmas Day bomber. I guess our free society has to end because why? Somebody might try to bomb us. And then if somebody tries to bomb a shopping mall, we'll have to have TSA-level security there. That's what they're calling for. And I guess if parents aren't good parents, all parents need cameras in their homes watching everything they do, like 1984, but no one watching the government. We're now seeing the British government, over 20,000 homes, have cameras in them. Guilty until proven innocent. These are just some of the issues we'll be covering today. And at the end of this hour, I'll give you the toll-free number to join us in the second hour to be part of our first maiden broadcast of 2010. But for this segment, a little bit into the next segment, I am joined by Kurt Haskell, one of the survivors of the Flight 253, the Christmas Day underwear bombing flight. They were coming back from an African sightseeing safari with his wife, Lori. They have a family blog. They're also both lawyers. And they witnessed a sharp-dressed man lead the underwear bomber, who they believed to be the underwear bomber, on. The FBI said no, they didn't see that and have refused to release the footage from the European airport that they were in Amsterdam. Then he reported that in customs, they were all being searched again, obviously on a plane that had a small bomb go off on it that started a fire. And they saw another Indian man. They saw an Indian man lead him up to the plane and get him on without a passport. Get detained, and they said, we've got to get you out of here. We may have found a bomb. Then he told the news about it. He talked to the FBI about it in person. They said no such thing happened. They changed their story days later as other witnesses came forward and said, no, Mr. and Mrs. Haskell are telling the truth. So here's a headline. This is out of the Detroit News. This is out of Michigan. Haskell family. FBI has changed account four times. Our story is the same since day one. And so joining us to kind of recap what's happened and why this is important, and I'll get to that before he leaves us, because this is launching some new wars, this underwear bombing, and it fits past signatures that we've seen of false flag events, provocateur events, but to just cover the facts is Kurt Haskell. Kurt, thanks for spending time with us on this Sunday.
Thanks for having me, and thank you to the listeners for the overwhelming amount of support I've received from you.
Specifically from radio, period, or CNN, or from this show?
From the listeners of this show.
Oh, so they've been in contact with you. I would imagine they've been sending you a lot of info.
Yes, fair amount.
Well, Mr. Haskell, you've got the floor here. Kind of break down what happened and the FBI changing its story now four times.
Sure. Do you want me to talk about that specifically?
Yeah, I mean, just recap it briefly, but sure. I mean, just...
Okay. Well, the man I call the man in orange, I'm just going to go over this real quickly for those that don't know. When we were being detained in Detroit, we were held in an area of a baggage claim area. Then all the passengers from our flight, there was nobody else around in this area from other flights, workers, nobody, except for some law enforcement personnel. After we had been there for about an hour, all the time with our carry-on bags, three bomb-sniffing dogs were brought in. One of them sat down by the bag that was brought in by the man in orange. He had an orange. He appeared to be of Indian or Pakistani or some similar descent, maybe around age 30. He was walked back to a room, not in handcuffs. He went in the door. He was in there approximately an hour. When he came out, he was handcuffed, taken away. An FBI officer came up to the group of the rest of us passengers and said the following, which is not exact but close: "You're being moved to another area. It's not safe here. I'm sure all of you saw what just happened and can figure out why you're being moved." We were then escorted out of this very large room into a long, narrow hallway. My story on this has been the same all along, and the FBI now has five versions of their story, which I lay out in an article I wrote on MLive. It's actually gotten difficult for me to remember which one is which and when they put them out, but basically, when I go out and call them out on this story, then a new version comes out. Their new version comes out, I call them out on that, and another one comes out, and this has happened now. They've now had five versions, which I clearly lay out with the time period and with each version, and they're not credible. And the reason, in my opinion, the reason this is happening is there is absolutely no excuse for the reason why, number one, we were left on the plane for 20 minutes, not knowing if there was another bomb there. Number two, security allowing us to take our carry-on bags off the plane into the place where we were being held, and we stood there with all of our bags together for an hour until the bomb-sniffing dogs arrived. And then, you know, after they found one, well, then we're moved to another area, and now they don't want to talk about the man who was taken away. I've repeated this many, many, many times, and there's no explanation for any of this except for these stories that keep changing. So make of that what you will, but, you know, I'm kind of irritated about it. And then I see on TV today, I didn't catch the man's name, but the deputy of Homeland Security who now says that, are we still live? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to break. Stay there. Okay. You can do another segment with us, can't you, Kurt?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's come back and finish up there. And there's been some bizarre statements made by John Brennan, the terrorism czar, concerning this. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So, last Christmas, Friday before last, this young Nigerian man, without a passport, gets on board this aircraft. His father had gone to the embassy repeatedly, had said, "My son is training with terrorists in Yemen. You've got to stop him." And he was not even put on the terror list. But congressmen get put on it. Over a million Americans can't fly. It's a list. You don't know how you get on it. You don't know how to get off. Guilty until never proven innocent. You're just a slave, a nameless slave. And you have thousands of troops massing in and around Yemen. You have U.S. airstrikes being prepared. You have the media saying we may go to war with Yemen in the week before this. And then this bombing comes along, the perfect pretext for it. And you've got eyewitnesses of the sharp-dressed man bringing the underwear bomber up, saying he doesn't have a passport, but let him on the plane. He gets on. Witnesses report someone videotaping the whole flight aimed at the underwear bomber, then during the flight, then during the attack. The FBI says there are no videos. They say that there was no one taping. despite other witnesses saying this. And then they're impeached. They're caught saying no one was detained. We didn't say somebody had a bomb. No one was taken away. We didn't tell people get out of here for your safety once they landed in Detroit. And now they've changed their story and said, okay, we did detain somebody, but for a passport issue. But the bomb-sniffing dog that Mr. Haskell and his wife saw went over to the guy's bag. That's why they took him away. So now they've changed their story five times. Go over the five different stories, Kurt Haskell, again, who was on board Flight 253. Break down the five different stories we've heard.
Okay, I'll try. It's getting hard for me to remember them all.
And you got cut off by the break. You got cut off by the break, too. Finish that point if you need to.
Okay, just briefly, I'm going to finish my last point. White House aide Brennan, I saw on TV this morning clarifying a point made earlier in the week by Janet Napolitano. And please don't take this as a shot at the current administration. I'm making no claims on to what my political alliances are.
But as you've said, you just want the truth. Go ahead.
I just want the truth. I take issue with the statement. And the statement earlier in the week was our system worked, and now aide John Brennan says, well, no, our system worked after the incident. And to me, what happened after the incident, as I've been explaining before the break, was this utter chaos. I can't see how they can say anything worked at all. It was a complete disaster. Nobody knew what they're doing. Nobody knew who was in charge. They let us into the airport with our bags that might have and probably did have a bomb in one of them. They didn't search our bags by hand, ever. They had the alleged video made on the flight there with us that they could have seized. They didn't do that, even though a fellow passenger of mine pointed out that the man could have only been in four possible seats. They did nothing to find that out to see who that was. It was an utter disaster. So I really take issue with that point. Now, the five versions, well, the first version was that the man in orange didn't exist at all. I believe it was 4 days until they even admitted he existed. And then,
in fact, Brennan, you had the FBI at your office, and they didn't want to discuss that person.
That's right. When they came to my office on Tuesday, I said, they showed me a picture of a person. I said, well, I can't say for sure, but it kind of looks like the guy that you took away in handcuffs that you refused to admit exists. Later that day, well, I believe it was later that day or the next morning, version two came out, which was, yes, there was a man on our flight taken away, being held indefinitely on immigration charges. Then version three came out, I believe it was later that same day.
Now, let's be clear. You were there. They didn't stop him for immigration violations. The dog went over and sat down in front of his bag, the alert
right.
for explosives.
Right, exactly.
Unless this is a passport-sniffing dog.
Apparently, this is some kind of wonder dog that can sniff papers and read them with his nose. I don't know. Version number three was that this man was from another flight, which was impossible. We were kind of quarantined. There was no one else around anywhere. I mean, this is, you know, the biggest investigation.
So then they gave another story. They said, we've taken him away. Then there's another story. It was another flight.
Right. Story three was that it was another flight, and after I went on the internet writing a blog about that, claiming how it was impossible, and telling them I anxiously await version four, I was surprised to get version four and five within the next day. And I'm trying to think what those were, but I think version four was, yes, there was a man taken away from our flight, but we searched him and questioned him and found nothing. There was another man taken away from another flight, and he's being held or something like that. And version five was, yes, we took someone away, but it was due to having some agricultural issue with bringing food in the country or something like that. I can't remember it exactly, but I lay it out well in my blog.
Oh, so now the bomb-sniffing dog... Now the bomb-sniffing dog is a agriculture food-sniffing dog.
Right, right. And I think they even said that man was also from another flight, I believe.
Okay, now here's the big issue. You and other people saw this guy led away. There have been quite a few of your fellow passengers say, no, we saw him. They ushered us out for our safety. So they started having to change their story. This is a huge story, one of the biggest out there. The FBI is on this full time. They know what's going on. Why are they being dishonest? And how do we investigate this when the investigators themselves are engaged in clear obstruction of the truth?
Well, you know, I don't know how else to take it. It's either utter incompetence or intentionally hiding something, you know, and I don't know how to take it, but I can see why they don't want to comment on it, and their story keeps changing because there's really no other explanation besides.
Now, when the
two.
FBI came to your house or came to your office last week,
yes.
Tuesday, because I talked to you right after they'd been there, you were live on the radio with us right after they left. You brought up the guy in orange in Detroit in customs. You brought up the sharp dressed man in Amsterdam helping the reported bomber get on the plane. You brought up all of this. You said just show the footage, and still we're now what 8-9 days into this, and we still haven't seen the Amsterdam footage.
Exactly, and I'm really not too happy with that. You know, if somebody robs a bank or holds up a gas station, well, there's video footage of the incident on the 11 o'clock news, usually that very night. You know, if I'm not correct, well, show the video. What are you hiding? Show the video. Show that, hey, Mr. Haskell's not correct here.
That's right, because they've been telling you, you didn't see that. They didn't say, according to the press reports I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. They didn't say, oh, we'll look at that. They just said, no, there was no one helping him, which is very suspicious, instead of just putting the footage out.
Right. You know, if there, in fact, is footage, which I believe they said they've already reviewed, and they think that I'm wrong, well, just put it out there and show that I'm wrong.
Well, you would think everyone...
2-3 minutes long.
You know the media is clamoring to see the underwear bomber.
Oh, absolutely.
So where is it? I mean, the people demand it.
Well, and also, why aren't we seeing the video of when he's going through... metal detector, passport check, you know, and boarding. You know they have all these videos, or you would think. I mean, you know, this is a modern airport. You would think they would have video of all this of some sort.
Well, Kurt, I know you don't like to speculate.
Sure.
But having the FBI come to your office, having them not want to discuss these issues, now seeing them tell 5 different stories, all of this stinks to high heaven. We've had other high-profile bombers that get on planes who were also shuttled on and protected. From my research, this has all the earmarks of a provocateur operation, or where the underwear bomber thought he was part of a drill or something. We've seen previous things. Then this is used to sell the domestic police state, to sell new wars, to sell body scanners in the airports that literally record a naked image of your body 360. Everyone's resisting this now. And then right on time, right as the body scanners were scheduled to go in January nationwide. That was already scheduled, folks. They're saying on the news, oh, now we're doing this. Yeah, these million-dollar machines. Now, I went and looked it up. They were scheduled to go in the additional 214 airports. They were in less than 20 in the U.S. before. Now they're going in nationwide at all major airports, right on time with this happening, Mr. Haskell.
Well, you know, I can't comment on that. Even myself just coming out and stating what I saw over and over again, I have a significant portion of the country that are just continually taking shots at me, left and right. You know, obviously I can't make any comments on something that...
No, I understand. But clearly on record, you're calling for a real open investigation of all of this.
All I wanted ever. I have no agenda at all. That's all I've stated ever. You know, I was almost blown to bits. Very close. I just want an open and honest investigation.
Is this beginning to appear as a cover-up to you?
Well, how else can I take it when I put out a blog or post somewhere and then the customs spokesperson immediately refutes it, so I put out another statement, the story changes.
Stay there. Got a break.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Sunday. Thursday, January 3rd, 2010. I'm going to open the phones up and also cover a lot of the financial news, what's happening with government control of health care, big developments on that front. We're going to open the phones up for first-time callers here at the beginning of this new year, 2010. We do this occasionally, at least once a week, a chance for new listeners or people who've never been able to get on the air to get involved, 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244, or locally in Central Texas, 512-646-1776, 888-201-2244. Okay, Kurt Haskell, one of the survivors of Flight 253 with the underwear bomber, you were finishing up with saying, I'm just glad to be alive, I'm just trying to tell the truth of what I saw, and I was asking the question, is this an ongoing cover-up, and how do we have a real investigation if the government charged with investigating are the ones covering up?
Well, that's a good point, and I just want to state, how else am I to take it when every time I put something out in the media, a new story comes out? This has happened, you know, they've had five versions of this story. All I can think is, you know, they want to put misinformation out there to refute what I'm saying, or it's just gross incompetence, and they can't figure out what actually is going on. I mean, what explanation is there besides that? You know, I don't know. I don't know what else to say on that. But, you know, I'm just glad to be alive. I'm trying to get the story out there, and I just want a full investigation. I know a lot of people are taking shots at me. I really can't understand why. You know, I've put my entire career.
It's called COINTELPRO, sir. Sir, it's on record. The government has hundreds of thousands of private corporations and contractors, hundreds of thousands working for private contractors, who go out and just throw out disinfo or blather on anything key. The fact that you're getting all this heat shows that your information is key, and your story continues to be verified by other eyewitnesses, and now they've had to change their story. So, I mean, you have the credibility.
Right, and by the way, my story regarding the orange dressed man was verified on Fox News by a fellow passenger, Daniel Huizinga, and I posted the video on my wife's blog if anyone wants to see it. And my story regarding the sharp dressed man could easily be verified, too, just by showing us the Amsterdam video. Let's see it. You know what? And if it doesn't show what, you know, what I say, fine. You know, I'll eat crow. I'll admit I was wrong, but I'm very confident it'll show what I think it does.
Kurt, give us your blog or your wife's blog.
I believe it's HaskellFamily.blogspot.com. I believe
we've put,
the exact address.
We put links up.
I believe it's on your website.
Yes, we've written stories and posted stories that have links to your blog, your information, you and your wife's blog at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Well, later in the week, if we can, by the way, listeners, it looks like we are going to have Lord Monckton on to cover what happened with ClimateGate and where the globalists are going on that front tomorrow. But just a program note, I would like to be able to get you back up later in the week. By then, we'll be to story change number 10, Mr. Haskell. So I hope you'll join us later in the week.
I'll be happy to come on whenever you want me on, and whenever the listeners want to hear from me.
Anytime. We've got 1 minute left. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just one thing. You know, I've taken a lot of shots for me appearing on your show a couple times, and I really don't understand it because I tell, you know, I have the same story no matter what show I'm on, it's TV, if it's radio. If it's a news reporter, it's the same story. And I really don't understand that. And
they want to isolate everybody and not have all of us communicating. They want to be the gatekeepers who says who can talk to who can do what.
And just one other statement on that point. Every single request that I've gotten, I've complied with. Every interview, every show, radio or TV, I don't discriminate. Not that I don't like your show, but I'm just pointing that out to the people that are taking shots at me.
Well, I just wouldn't spend your time even responding to the government operatives. Most of them are, sir. Kurt Haskell, thank you so much for spending time with us. And we'll talk to you again coming up later in the week. Say hi to your wife for me.
No problem, Alex. Anytime.
Take care. There goes Kurt Haskell. We'll come back.
From his Central Texas command center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up towards the end of the broadcast, I'm going to get into what's happening to the Democratic Party. National polls show between 55 and 70 plus percent, depending on the poll, are vehemently against the government takeover of healthcare. And with every passing week, those numbers are shifting more and more towards a supermajority of Americans. So every week, the numbers of people in the polls against government running healthcare increases. That's why the Democrats are so desperate to ram this through now, because even the Democratic Party chairman has come out and said that he is against the bill. Dennis Kucinich, one of the most liberal people in Congress, has said they're against it. When you can't get Howard Dean or Dennis Kucinich for your socialist bill, you got a problem, because it's not even a socialist bill. I don't like socialism because it makes people dependent. It creates corruption. Any big pool of money, special interests are going to get their snouts in. You don't have to wait for special interests to mine in and burrow into this, this takeover of 1/7 conservatively. Some estimates are 1/6. It was written by the insurance company and banks. They make you get insurance. They make the rates go up. They increase your taxes. And then it actually gives them immunity from prosecution, massive immunity in many forms of suits for not giving good care. It's horrible. It's horrible. But they're set to go to conference this week and try to ram it through. So that is coming up. Some stations don't carry the first 5 minutes of each hour. They carry news. But we do the first 5 minutes. Then we have a one-minute break, come back at 6 after. If you missed it, Mr. Haskell, one of the survivors of Flight 253, finished up what he had to say. And he'll be joining us again later in the week as the FBI continues to change their story. More than a Victoria's Secret model changes what they're wearing when they do a runway event. I mean, they're changing it every 5 minutes. But just finishing up on the new wars being launched by Obama. He's continuing rendition, secret arrest, torture, expanding that, expanding the Patriot Act, expanding all the major wars, saying they're getting ready to go into Yemen and Somalia and Sudan. The biggest defense budget ever, bigger than all 50 states' budgets combined. The government's bankrupt. The banks are looting everything. Obama has spent in less than a year in office, a little over 11 months in office. January 21st, it'll be 1 year in office. He has spent more than all presidents before him combined in less than a year. And he did that 8 months in. That number is an eight-month number. So that's from 3 months ago. More than all presidents before him, back to George Washington. So that is something we're going to be covering and going over. They want to bankrupt you. Big offshore banks want an insolvent country, just like they finance countries to do deals with the IMF and World Bank, where they create all this fiat currency out of nothing, backed up by U.S. taxpayers. They go in, the third world countries, whether it be Brazil or Nigeria or Indonesia, they run up these giant bills, and you'll have a $1 billion loan, and Nigeria ends up paying $30, $40, $50, even $60 billion back on it. The same thing is now being done to our republic. Now, I'm going to open the phones up here in just a moment. We're going to go to Carol, Michael, Jonathan, David, Paul, Kim, Nigel, Chris, Seal, Billy Bob, and others. But please have your question or comment. Quickly fire it out. We're moving to the next person. I did want to finish up with this CNN report that our guest was mentioning. U.S. terrorism czar, Christmas Day plot not like 9/11. This is a transcript of his interview on CNN and their State of the Union program. It's not like 9/11, Brennan said, the terror czar, adding that the system didn't work as it should have due to lapses in human error. This wasn't an effort to try to conceal information. Not like 9/11. What does that mean? I mean, look at this. This, folks, the more security, I mean, even if you believe this is all incompetence, the more liberty we give up, the more terrorism we get. But if government knows it can stage a few events or let a few terrorists get through and then use it to give their buddies hundreds of billions of dollars a year in airport scanner and security money, the government gives this to their cronies. It's a revolving door to people in the Pentagon and Justice Department. They all then revolve in and out of government into these security firms and big defense firms that are really taking over that market. And they have an incentive for terror, an incentive for fear. But you look at the pre-bombing run-up of propaganda against Yemen. You look at the hype about terrorism. You look at Obama now saying, get ready for biological attack today. I mean, all of this is going on. In fact, here's one of those reports. Obama orders U.S. government to begin preparing for biological attack. This is how the government takes your liberties and says, oh, it's being done to keep you safe. Let's go to Calvin in Ohio. Calvin, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a comment that here at my local news, right after the underwear bombing, the very next day, they reported the Taliban turned around and bombed a CIA building.
Say that
and
again?
At my local news here in Ohio, Channel 10 had reported one day about the underwear bomber, and then the very next day, they started reporting about how the Taliban attacked the CIA embassy building over in Afghanistan.
Well, it wasn't really an embassy building. It was a former Soviet airfield and prison, and it killed 8 CIA employees, but I appreciate your call. And that was probably a real terror attack because the CIA admittedly has been inside Pakistan bombing weddings and other public events, and those people are all about vendettas and those particular tribes. And that's what they're saying. They're saying this is a vendetta for killing our families. And that's the problem. Being in all these countries, it creates real terrorism. And the system knows that. Let's take another call. Thank you, Calvin. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk to Carol in California. Carol, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say gratitude to you and to Mr. Haskell for speaking the truth, having the courage to be the example for all of us to stand up and do the same. Sir, I could go on for eons. I'd like to say that the people have the right in the republic to act in commerce, to take back our sovereignty, and it is important that we do the research so that we can stand in peace and combat them with peaceful means, that arms are not the only way to go. And I could go on forever, but thank you so much for speaking up and speaking for the truth.
Carol, thank you. Good to talk to you in 2010. I'll tell you one way to take things back in commerce. 10 years ago, you couldn't find organic food in most stores. Now half the food, you know, when I go into a store, sometimes even more, is organic. That's 10 years ago, you couldn't find milk that didn't have bovine growth hormone in it, making our kids go into puberty when they're 7, 8 years old. Now there's a tiny little area in the cold case, the refrigerated dairy case of the GMO milk. And there's 4, 5, 6 big cases full of different varieties of organic milk, or at least non-hormone milk, natural milk. And it's the same thing with so many issues. You vote with your dollars. Support alternative media. Buy the books and videos that I've written, that I've produced, that we sell at InfoWars.com. That allows us to expand our operation. I want to thank all of you out there. We couldn't have done it without you. Let's go to Michael in California. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you, Alex? Just want to say thank you, first of all.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, sir. You know, a lot of more young people are becoming especially more aware of this particular incident with the underwear bomber, as this terrorist looked like a lot of them here in America. It looked like a lot of us. What are your thoughts on, you know, Jay-Z and hip-hop having a lot of symbolism and the New World Order, you know, coming through on BET and a lot of our networks? And
well, that's a separate issue. So that's two questions, or specifically, you want me to talk about New World Order symbology in movies and film and TV?
Yeah,
and rap?
If not in this episode, if not in this particular show, maybe in the future, I'd be better about talking about it.
No, let me come back and answer both your questions. I appreciate your call, Michael. Those are both very important. Terrorists that look like us. What's he mean by that? And then also, Illuminati symbolism all over hip-hop. And I've seen it myself. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Okay, to answer Michael's questions from California, in the last 3 years, we've seen Fox News, Sky TV, BBC, and others come out and say white Al-Qaeda is working with Al-Qaeda And in one clip they used on Fox, it showed a British government training video where the military was dressed up with ski masks with bazookas, showing what a terror training camp might look like. But people weren't told that. I had to go look it up. And so what they do is they tell the public, this has all been set up for people that are different from you, people overseas. We're not taking your rights. We're just setting up this police state to fight, you know, these evil people overseas that live in caves that made NORAD stand down on 9/11 and all this other baloney. But then when you get the Homeland Security documents, the MIAC reports, remember all those earlier last year that we got, that we broke, that the FBI had to admit were real, where their main internal focus is gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. That's who's being tracked. That's who's being controlled. And so, yes, more and more we're being told terrorists could look like anybody. But going back to 2001, 2002, all these training manuals, even the public ones for police, say, don't trust a woman with a baby carriage. Don't trust a priest. Don't trust anybody. Anybody could be Al-Qaeda. And so that's happening. Now, on a totally different subject of Illuminati symbolism, I like to be careful about this because people can go overboard with it. Like, I'll make films about the New World Order, and then I'll say, we will defeat the New World Order. And I'll show an all-seeing eye in pyramid, say in Terror Storm. And then all these websites get created going, look, he's got Illuminati programming in his film. He's got hidden symbols. They're not hidden. A big giant pyramid. When I'm talking about the New World Order and their system and their symbol being a pyramid of command and control compartmentalization, I'm going to show you an all-seeing eye pyramid. They've done reviews of my film Order of Death. The whole thing is about Illuminati symbolism. It's about exposing it. So people go, look, he's showing symbolism. I was a consultant on a Scanner Darkly, and they wanted to point out that it was like an Illuminati-type future where the government puts out the drugs through a private corporation that then basically turns you into a brainwashed zombie, and then the government controls the rehabs, the work camps. It makes you a slave. So they sell you the drugs. It ruins your brain, makes you a zombie, and then they use you as a slave. It's a Philip K. Dick book. Hate to give it, you know, give away the end of the movie, but that's the storyline. And I consulted some on the high-tech aspects of it, on the surveillance aspect of it. I'm also in the film with Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder, Woody Harrelson, and others. And there's Illuminati symbolism throughout it. We're saying it's the Illuminati. It's the Illuminati. I mean, a guy wearing a shirt with an all-seeing eye on it, Illuminati symbolism on the walls, that's out in the open. We're saying it's the Illuminati. It's the New World Order. Okay? Now, that said, there is massive symbolism. The symbol for CBS and all these major logos being all-seeing eyes. All these top rappers, and you guys found a video clip of that. Play it for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers in the background now. We were playing it earlier. And you see them doing all these gang signs and Illuminati signs in their films. And, you know, that's saying, you know, we're down with it. We're on the inside track. Of course, because there's so much power associated with the New World Order and the Illuminati that people are then going to mimic it. They're going to imitate it. Now, that said, and I gave you guys a group of printouts when I got into the office today. I hadn't stapled them yet. Did you staple those? Oh, good. Here's the stack. I actually went to the Library of Congress. It's not in this stack. I actually went to the Library of Congress, and later in the week, I am going to do a little 10-minute piece on the weekday show while we're simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv so people can actually see it. And I want to prepare for it. I want to have it all preloaded in the computer so we can do it in a graceful way and go over all of it. I want to engage in a defense of George Washington. Because last week I did a little short 10-minute tribute to George Washington and to the founding of our country and how he was offered to be the king of the colonies and he said no. And then I got all these emails and comments saying, Alex, George Washington was Illuminati. Look, there's this quote about him saying, I am satisfied with the fact that the Illuminati is operating in the United States. Well, you just don't know classical English of that day. Our English has changed. He was saying, I am satisfied that this is going on, meaning, yes, I agree this is going on. And so I went to the Library of Congress online, and there are more than 20 letters by George Washington where he speaks of the Illuminati. And in that very letter that everyone uses against him, the scan of the letter, he is writing letters. In fact, they did find it. I am it to him. There is the letter. He is writing to people. He wrote hundreds of these, but Library of Congress has 20 or so that I could find, warning them. And so they use this famous quote and take it out of context for what the quote clearly means, preying on people who aren't aware of how classical English worked. And then they ignore the very next paragraph where he says the Illuminati and Jacobins are of the worst sorts and horrible criminals, and we must stop them taking over America. See, there's the copy of the letter, and there's a whole bunch of them. I spent like 3 hours. I couldn't quit reading these Friday night. So what he said is, in this letter, it says, if you've ever doubted the existence of the Illuminati order, there are archives from George Washington himself which prove not only they exist, but they were intensely active in America. And this site that wrote about it is very accurate in that that's a whole nother controversy here. People keep acting like the Illuminati doesn't exist or didn't ever exist when it was the main issue of the day, the 1770s through 1820 or so. And I had read countless mainline history books where George Washington was fighting the Illuminati. I had read text of his letters. I had never actually looked at the letters, the scans of the letters themselves. So what people do is they take out of context the following. It was not my intention to doubt the doctrines of the Illuminati and principles of Jacobism had not spread to the United States. So people take it out of context and make it sound like he's saying they're good. It was not my intention to doubt the doctrines of the Illuminati. Then they stop. He's saying, I'm not doubting that they're going on in the United States. It was not my intention to doubt that the doctrines of the Illuminati and the principles of Jacobism have not spread to the United States. On the contrary, no one is more truly satisfied of this fact than I am. And they prey on ignorant people and say that satisfied means he likes it. No, he's saying, I'm satisfied of the fact that they're operating here in the United States. And later in the week, I'll read the rest of the letter where he then calls them the worst type of scum that must be stopped. You know, I hate to even start getting into a defense of George Washington because I know people will come back with, but Benjamin Franklin was a member of the Hellfire Club in England and France, and he was a member of the Illuminati. Yes, I've said that many times. Most people are aware of that because for more than a decade, we've been covering it here. There was Illuminati infiltration of our government. Washington writes about that his last year as the president, saying we must stop these people. Yes, he was a Mason. That doesn't mean all Masons were members of the Illuminati. The Illuminati used their secret society system to take over. And there were a lot of people in Europe who were angry at the monarchs, tired of the corruption, tired of the church's corruption, tired of the inquisitors. And so if you read the Illuminati documents in Germany, one of their letter carriers got struck by lightning. That's how the conspiracy was made public. It said, oh, we're manipulating all these good men. The best people in society are now working with us. You know, but they don't know that we plan to take over government and put ourselves in the thrones. You see, so it was a sophisticated system. You had a rebellion against tyranny happening, so of course corrupt scammers went in and tried to take that over. And of course, Benjamin Franklin, being the U.S. ambassador to France, then the ambassador to England, of course he was going to be involved in all these intrigues. And that's what Washington later discovered years later and put an end to. And there's clear evidence that he was bled to death. He was murdered by one of their operatives who was an attending physician. And there's a whole other subject there. The issue is the Bill of Rights and Constitution is good. The globalists today are getting rid of it. And we need to get our Bill of Rights and Constitution back, regardless. But it's not fair to use these letters and just say where he says, yes, I'm satisfied of the fact that the Illuminati is operating here in the United States. Well, of course, he's saying, I'm satisfied they're operating. And then he goes on to say, these are the worst type of people, and they've got to be stopped. I mean, go to the Library of Congress yourself. You know, I said I was going to take calls, and now one guy's question's taking me on a 10-minute rant. Folks, I can't answer long questions because I want to get to everybody. Jonathan in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. My question is there an alliance or a slight rift between you and the likes of Beck, Limbaugh, and Savage, who are also inspiring a lot of other red, white, and blue Americans to wake up? Because wouldn't the rift just complicate things more, or an alliance help more, because they are not people like the CNBC people who bash Republican people? That's my question. Thank you.
You know, incredibly important question. I'm going to draw a picture here. Guys, give me a camera shot for TV viewers at PrisonPlanet.tv. And for radio listeners, we'll later post a YouTube of this up on the site for everybody. Here's the deal. I am an alternative grassroots radio host who is not part of the left-right paradigm. I don't let myself be put in a box. Okay? Now, it would appear that I'm allies with Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Michael Savage, and others right now, because I'm opposing government takeover of healthcare, because I'm opposing the Copenhagen Global Carbon Tax Treaty, because I'm opposing everything Obama's doing. Limbaugh, Beck, and others aren't opposing Obama on the war. They're saying he's not doing enough. That then gives him left cover when the guy's actually the biggest defense budget ever, expanding all these wars that bankrupt our country and destroy our security. In the left-right paradigm, you've got the left on one end and you've got the right on the other end. Okay? You've got the left on one end, you've got the right on the other end. And they keep everybody contained within this system. I am outside of this system. There are some truths within the left-right argument, but the main fight in the left-right argument is the Republicans and the Democrats, controlled by special interest, fighting with each other for control of the political system. And so when a Republican's in power, the government triples in size, and we launch all these wars and we lose freedom. And then when Democrats get in power, they expand the size of government and they expand the wars and we lose more freedoms. But the rhetoric is different. Now, when the Democrats were in power, they were opposed to the war, to the Patriot Act, to warrantless spying, to the police state, to torture, and to lobbyists. Now that they're in power, they're for it all and have taken it even further than Bush. Now that Republicans are out of power, they want to be with the people with rhetoric that's popular. Hey, we don't want world government. We don't want government health care. We don't want carbon taxes. But as soon as they're in power, unless we really get real leadership in there, it is only going to continue. And then the Democrats will suddenly be anti-establishment. I'm anti-establishment and a constitutionalist no matter who's in power. If George Bush violates the Constitution, I expose him. If Barack Obama violates the Constitution, I expose him. When George Bush is under the control of offshore private interest, I expose him. When Bill Clinton's in power, I expose him. When Barack Obama's in power, I expose him. You know, if General Petraeus is in power in 3 years, I'll expose him. Or if it's Mitt Romney or whoever it is, I expose him. I'm into facts. I'm into issues. I'm into how things actually work. Okay? And I know that the government gets bigger and we lose freedoms no matter who is in there because a global private interest. Look, things have changed, though, at least. Limbaugh and Beck and Savage could say there was no New World Order. The CFR didn't want world government. There was no North American Union for years. Now, because we educated, myself and many others, mainly the listeners of this show, and Lou Dobbs educated so many people. He deserves a lot of credit. He's a trailblazer. And look, they kicked him off CNN, bought him out, got rid of him, bought out his contract to be precise. Now, because everybody basically knows world government's real, they've heard the UN call for it, now Limbaugh and all them look pretty stupid never talking about it. So now we're so far down the line, so deep into this, they're now admitting it's real. And I commend them for that. But again, I don't sit up here bashing these guys all day. Of the three you mentioned, I think Savage has always been the best. But still, he does horrible things like say, and I heard him over and over again say years ago, anyone who disagrees with the government and protests the war is aiding terrorists. You should be arrested and put in a camp. And we shouldn't have to pay for you in a camp, so it should be forced labor. Now, that's basically word for word. That is 180 degrees the opposite of liberty. Let me close shot again, guys. You know, here's liberty and freedom over here, and here's tyranny over here. When Bush was in power, Savage and others were supporting total tyranny. Now that Obama's in power, Savage gets up on his show and says the government may stage terror attacks to take our freedoms. See, now he's on the side of liberty. I haven't seen anything that truthful out of the other two. All I'm saying is, in 3 years, when you get a Republican, you're going to hate me. A lot of you Republicans now love me. Just like Democrats liked me when Bush was in. And then when Republicans get in, you're going to hate me. Liberals hate me now. Conservatives love me. Folks, you got to grow up. I mean, come on. I mean, somehow you've got to grow up and get the facts. Somehow you've got to shatter the left-right paradigm. Please. Somehow you've got to see what's happening. You got two parties fighting over power and paychecks they get from offshore interest. That's it. The government's too big. It's rotten. It's corrupt. They have declassified that our criminal government has staged terror attacks. It's in army manuals how to stage terror attacks for officers. Folks, all I do is report the facts, okay? We're in a lot of trouble. We've been robbed. Criminal interests don't want you to get control of your government because then they'd be prosecuted. So they want to set up a tyranny so they get away with it. Let's jam in a call. I'm going to go to break and just jam in calls at the end here. David in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, it's an honor to finally speak with you.
Good to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a couple quick points I want to make.
You know what? I didn't look at the clock right. I'm going to put you on hold, come back to you. David, Paul, Kim, Chris, Seal, Billy Bob. Again, I'm trying to take your calls. Just each question brings up such complex issues. See, the problem is reality's complex. And everybody wants a Republican or a Democrat to give them quick, easy answers, silver bullets. Freedom doesn't come out of a McDonald's window with instant gratification. It takes research. Okay, coming in hot, final segment of the first live radio show of 2010. And going back to David in Arkansas, go ahead and make your points, David.
Okay, thank you, Alex. The truth is our best ally and the only ally we really need because it's unwavering and unchanging. Brother, you're not alone. You're not the only one with discernment that can see how horrific this is. This pains me every single day to see how all of this is playing out.
Oh, I know. A lot of people are waking up. That's the good news.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. And it is inevitable that we will win this psychological war that we are fighting. It's just a matter of how much time and at what
Well, it's
cost.
Just, David, I see the control grid going in place. The system knows we're waking up. They've been five steps ahead of us building the surveillance grid, brainwashing the police, and brainwashing the public, and we better come together against tyranny. You know, when a Republican gets in 3 years, folks, we better make sure they cut government and restore the republic. But they're not going to. That's the problem. Everybody sees the Democrats sliding in polls. They see Democrats defecting to the Republicans. You watch, the Republicans aren't going to repeal the health care bill when they get in 3 years.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. No.
Unless we start 3 years ahead of time going, look, buddy, you better stop it.
Absolutely. But the good news is people are waking up. And with their sloppiness, with their arrogance and short-sightedness, this underwear bomber is a great thing because it proves without a shadow of a doubt that all of this tyrannical security that they're trying to pull on us is absolutely worthless. When the
people That's right. Even if you believe, great points, and I appreciate your call, David. Even if you believe that all this terrorism is real, that, well, we gave a bunch of our rights, and what did we get? It's all baloney, folks. They escorted him on the plane. The whole thing's a cover-up to launch a new war in Yemen. Paul in Oklahoma, you're on the air. Paul, go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
I got a. Well, I'm going to tell you about something going on in Oklahoma. Some of our representatives are working on legislation to try to stop the health care bill.
And that's right. You've got a whole bunch of state attorney generals, what, 18 of them, saying it's unconstitutional. You've got 30-plus states in passing or close to passing 10th Amendment legislation declaring states' rights, and the media is trying to spin it like they're seceding or something. They're not.
Oh, yeah, of course. They always will make us look like the outsiders or the bad people when we're truly not, you know.
No, the globalists are the outsiders under international treaty trying to take over our sovereignty.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to ask you about who I think or who I've been reading might be the new shiny face of the elite, Newt Gingrich. He's been popping up more and more, and I'm wondering
Newt Gingrich, who tells you we need to give up our rights, that global warming's man-made, we need global taxes. He was for the Copenhagen takeover. Exactly. I mean, he's just a horrible rhino. But the media acts like he's this great conservative icon because talk show hosts say he is. The guy's a nightmare. I appreciate your call. Great point, Paul. Let's talk to Chris in Arizona. Chris, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. Hey, first I'd like to send a ton of unconditional love over to you and your guys in the studio and the Haskell family. I can't thank him enough for standing forward to this tyranny. I'm fighting it side by side with you every day, Alex.
Awesome.
They featured my car. I drive the Ron Paul 2012 car that Ron Paul signed on the 5th of December, and they featured it on the Daily Paul on New Year's. I was quite excited about that. But I want to thank you guys for everything you do. And this tyranny is incredible, man. It's been an unbelievable year, Alex.
It has been. I appreciate your call, Chris. Going back to the caller before him, bringing up Newt Gingrich, it was Newt Gingrich in 1994 when Bill Clinton was involved in all of his tyranny and treason against our Constitution, who led the Republican freshmen to destruction by not delivering their promises. And Gingrich is a top CFR member, a top traitor, a Benedict Arnold. And I believe he will lead a revolt by the people through the Republicans down a rat hole. That's what all these fake neocons posing as patriots are doing right now. They're telling the truth about a lot of issues, but positioning themselves to make sure the status quo of exploding government and tyranny continues. Seal in Canada, you're on the air.
Channel Jones.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, brother. God bless, first of all, you and yours in the new year, and even listeners as well, because they're part of this fight.
They're not part of it. They are the engine, the treads, everything. They are the fight.
All right. And let's you know, I got two other things to say. Let's count our blessings. You know, we got Climate Gate. We got some good things that happened in the past year.
Yeah,
you know?
In fact, I said last week that Climate Gate was the equivalent politically of Washington's victory at Trenton. And it was. It's a giant victory against the globalists. They were staking everything on this, and it blew up, and their whole fraud to set up taxes on every facet of our lives is in trouble.
Well, you know, that's an excellent analogy, and that's why you're sitting in the chair you're sitting in there, brother. You know, I think what we need, you know, we don't need a bunch of public selves in a big building that calls itself the UN that pretends to look out for us. We need some sort of a citizens executive council. I mean, you got some good people there, Ron Paul and you know, Kucinich. They've been doing some honest, good man work. But we need some people that can get in.
Lord Monckton has talked about a global freedom party based in each nation that pushes for sovereignty and liberty against the New World Order. And
excellent.
Yeah, that is moving forward.
Oh, great. You know, we're showing a very strong non-confidence of government, not just government, but the individuals that
exactly.
are running the show.
Exactly. Congress has an 11% approval rating. They're doing the opposite of what the people want, the opposite of what's constitutional. Good to hear from you, Seal. Awesome call. Billy Bob in Texas, you're on the air.
Alex, how you doing, sir?
Good.
Oh, great to talk to you. Alex, I am nothing but up on all of this, what's happening. I see clearly. But that's no excuse for anybody to back off the throttle at all. This is an exponential thing, and the applied force will become exponential. They've had it. These ivory tower clowns, they're 40 or 50 years behind. I do not give them the credit that too many people do. They're old school. They're too old school, and this is the new millennium, and even going back from the new millennium to George Washington, the father of our country. I mean, we've got them boxed in.
Well, we've got them boxed in if we take action. It's true that the pendulum was swinging towards tyranny. That woke a lot of people up, and now the pendulum stopped at Copenhagen and is beginning to swing back towards freedom if we take the initiative. Yes, sir. God bless you. And it's great to talk to you the first live broadcast of the new year, Billy Bob. Great points. And again, I'm giving callers short periods of time and trying to restrict myself to short comments so we can get you on air. Thomas in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, first time caller, long time listener. How you doing?
Good. God bless you, sir. Go ahead.
Awesome. First, if I can get a comment from you, I got an article here from the Daily Paul titled U.S. Martial Law in January 2010. In the article, it states that Federal Reserve Bank will be disbanded and replaced by the World Bank at the end of January 2010, causing American dollar to devalue by 50%. Can you comment?
Who wrote it?
It says submitted by Mauser.
But the person that posted it isn't who wrote it. What's the source?
I don't have it here. I printed it off.
All right, I'm going to let you go and comment on that quickly. When they got body scanners in the airports and police are taking blood without warrants and babies' blood at birth without warrants of all children born, when we've got GMO food that's killing us on our store shelves, when we've got a government that arrests people and tortures them and then puts them on trial, that is martial law. Don't ever look for them to announce it. When we have military running checkpoints all over the country and it's not even a big news item, that's martial law. It's what increment of martial law. Yes, the dollar's dead. That's why the bankers are buying everything up while it still has some value. But to put dates on it, I don't know. But definitely the real economy's imploding. Joblessness is up. They're printing tens of trillions, pumping it out there. It's like a sugar high. And yes, they want to implode our economy to bring us into world government. That's in their own documents and statements. But I don't know about the specific article you're talking about. I'll have to look it up. We just posted Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and I put in my films what we can prove, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk to Aston in Canada. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
Good. We got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
First time caller, long time listener. Got a few of those butterflies myself, but this should go well. First thing I wanted to talk to you about is I'm really looking forward to your series on the Founding Fathers. Could you recommend a good book?
You know, I've read so many on the founders from different perspectives, the French, the British view, the view in the colonies. I've read a lot of the letters and writings of the founders. But I am going to be doing every week or so at least a few segments a week on our history, who we are, so we can know what we want to be and what we were and how revolutionary that was in a good way versus what we're becoming going back to tyranny. I appreciate your call. We're out of time. We'll have time to let the callers have a little bit more time on air tomorrow, 11 to 3 Central. In this same studio, Jason Burmes is coming up. If it's not on your local AM and FM, you can listen at Infowars.com. Great job, crew. See you back live tomorrow. Happy New Year.